This is Defining New Media Marketing, the podcast. Your brief for insights, tips, and the future of new media marketing. Let's get started. Well, welcome to the show. I hope you're having a great week so far. We will continue our series on the future of content or content creation. Today we will cover modeling. Modeling to the persona and modeling really for your internal organization. Let's say modeling, it's basically creating the plan to reach that persona that you've previously created, but also creating the plan for you or your internal organization to create content. Tomorrow we will cover curation. It's a new strategy you will hear a lot about here in the coming years. And probably the following day, not probably, for sure the following day, we will talk about just creating action with your content. And that really should round up this full series here of the future of content. I am Scott Scanlon, and you are listening to Defining New Media, your first and last stop for new media news. You can reach me at scott@ubrandinc.com. That's Scott with two T's, YOUBRANDINC.com. I'd like to thank everybody that sent over emails, especially on this series. I got a lot of great emails, great feedback. So thank you, everybody that sent over emails. And it's just it's good to get feedback. It's good to really just understand that the stuff that we're putting together here, I'm putting together here, or sharing with you a lot of the strategies behind content and how we go out there in a digital marketing plan is something that's resonating with people. So thank you for that. You can also reach me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/ScottScanlon. So before I really jump right in, I want to talk about how it really is important that you did the previous exercises of the planning around personas and understanding the useful, usable, quality, entertaining, and educational aspect. Because those are going to be the pillars of what we're going to talk about right now. And the first step in creating a content strategy, after you've defined the goals, after you've really gone through and built out who is this for, and keep in mind, by the time these, I broke this down into sections, but a lot of these things, they bleed over in the timeline of when you go out there and do research, when you go out there and really try to get a feel of the market. For instance, right now we're working on a vertical market, and we've went out and really, quote unquote, got the mind of the market in all the places we possibly could, from the social space to the trade publications to the contrarian view to all the places that are currently talking about this particular market. So in my mind, it's about getting that mind of the market. But the who and what and why was already kind of answered through this process, but we would just keep adding to it. The way to really look at kind of where we're at right now in the modeling process is take a piece of paper, whiteboard, and you've already defined your persona, right? You've used either the empathy map or you've done it some other way. You've defined your persona. And what you want to do from there is really go through the why, who, what, how, when, and where. And we're going to go through each one of these individually for the persona and for internally. So it'll be different questions. But for instance, you've got your persona on there. And when you go to the why question, when you start with that question of why, your question should be focused like this. It should be, why should I care? Why, that persona that you've built out and the fears and the needs and everything else, you need to ask, why should I care about a piece of content? Or should I care? One of the things to really define is this person, this target market that you're reaching, why should they even pay attention to you? And how are you going to bring that through? You know, we've already answered the next part, which is who. But I think you can dive in a little bit deeper and say, who will interact? And yes, it's been answered already, because part of this whole content strategy is understanding the persona that you're trying to reach. So you've already defined the who. Maybe the better way that we like to phrase this is, who are they online, right? We know who they are in the real world. Who are they really online? This next part for when you're modeling out personas and you're modeling out your content strategy is the what. This is important. The what is, what topics do they care about? What topics should they care about? What subjects should we care? What should we cover? Now that's one and the same. But one of the things that you'll notice a lot with what's happening in the social realm is some brands, some larger brands especially, are talking less about their products and more about lifestyle, more about the lifestyle that the product brings. And what some brands have found, especially, I'll give you an example, BMW has found, for instance, is that when they try to be very product focused, ultimately what ends up happening is that the negative comes up higher than it ordinarily would have. I think we mentioned on the podcast before, Toyota. Toyota ran something around your dreams or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's something along the lines of how Toyota plays a role into your dreams. And what ended up coming up when I looked through the stream of conversations was people complaining about the gas pedal being stuck. I remember one in particular where the actual person commenting on Facebook complained about the fact that her grandmother had died in a Toyota. So, you know, when you make it very product focused, when your subjects are product focused in your content strategy, you, in this two-way communication world we live in, you're bringing through probably some negatives and a lot more negatives than you're probably accustomed to right now. Now, this is, I'm hoping that most people listening right now is over this and I understand this, but it is one of those things that you have to discuss about it. Will my persona, the person that I'm building this content for, I'm trying to reach, will this bring a more negative aspect to what my product does, what my service does, or how they put it into practice? The other what that's important is formats. When you're talking about the person that you're building content for, how would they like to receive this? Right? What format is it? Is it a white paper? Is it in video? Is it in audio? Is it just text-based? Is it very visually? You know, is it... So you're asking these high-level questions about what topics should we cover? What formats do we put them in? I think the how is the interesting one with personas always. And this is where I'd look at how in a couple different ways. We talk about how. How does someone want to receive it? Do they want to receive it in a way that is in multiple series, for instance? You know, how do they want to consume it? Do they want to consume it on different devices? Do they want to consume it on, you know, just at the computer, at work? You know, these are important elements that you have to look at when you create a content strategy. Is if you have a B2B world and one of your strategies is to reach them within the social space, can they consume it? You know, how will they reach it behind certain firewalls? One of the important aspects of how is how do they share it? This is, there's two parts to this. One that a lot of people don't think about. The first how is, well, how do you externally share it, right? If I create a piece of content like this podcast, for instance, you have the ability to share it on Twitter, to share it on Facebook, to share it in other places. You have the ability to comment on it. But that's, I consider that an external share. One that often people don't recognize when they think about creating content is the internal share. And the internal share is with a boss or among coworkers. And this internal share is typically, and this is what we found, I'm sure a lot of other people have found, that's creating content in the B2B space. The internal share goes a far way to moving people down the sales cycle. It also is one of the drivers of creating leads and prospects. Because what typically happens is someone within an organization will realize that they need an outside help, or they need some direction, or they need something, right? So they go out there and they've been tasked, because this is their role, to figure it out. And ultimately they get to this point where they realize that they either need professional help, they need a service, they need a company, they need a product, right? And that's where they're typically taking a piece of content that will help them sell that solution to solve their problem to someone else. Now, I know this is well known within the B2B space, but this happens a lot more. So oftentimes that persona that you're building for, understanding how are they going to consume and share this, will allow you to create better content or speak maybe to an additional element that persona would interact with. So for instance, if I know that I'm building a piece of content that would go into the hands of someone that's responsible for creating a social plan, for instance, right? But ultimately they have to get approval by a CEO. It would be great to include or speak to that in certain segments of that report or of that video, or create an additional point or an additional sharing opportunity or additional content so someone could, they're enabled to share that. You know, when we move on to when, you know, when does this happen? You know, that's an easy question typically to answer, you know. But it is an important element to say, when will they view, consume, or engage? Because oftentimes, if you put it into that prism, what we're finding a lot is people, at least increasingly with the younger generations, and it's hard to generalize, but there's no real breakdown between work and play. There's no, you know, there's not two personas there. So oftentimes they're viewing and consuming and engaging content at the same time during the workday as what most people would be doing on the evening. And I'm generalizing here, but generally what you'll find, and this is, I've seen a lot of studies and I've seen a lot of just general discussions around this, which is the younger workforce right now thinks it's okay to consume or engage with content that the older generation thinks is a little odd to be doing during the workday. But that's just the way I believe we're starting to be wired as a society, at least here in the Western world. So I think that the last and final question on modeling to the persona is where? You know, where do you expect these people to engage this content? You know, where were they consuming it? Where were they engaged with it? Another important aspect of where that I say you should start modeling out is look at other markets in other verticals and understand what medium has been successful in other markets. What platforms has been successful in other markets? You know, Facebook might not be a platform. For instance, I'll give you a good example. I saw if you don't know what ice dams are, they're common in, I guess, colder climates, obviously where it snows. What happens on the roof of a house is that your snow will pile up, right? And it'll get to the gutter. And what'll happen is an ice dam, literally, will form there at the gutter at the end of the roof. And then as snow melts, it can't run down through the gutters because there's an ice dam over it. So what happens is you have puddles of basic water that builds up on your roof and then gets underneath the shingles and comes down through the, you know, the attic and everything else and makes a mess, right? Well, ice dams are a big problem here in Minnesota this winter. I think they'll continue to be this winter as it continues to snow. And one of the I saw an ad recently on Facebook that was for ice dams. Went to the Facebook page, great explanation about ice dams, and then went to their website, well laid out, very good piece of content, very good piece of ongoing engagement, very good, well-explained website, had illustrations, had everything. It was just a well-done piece. It just well-done piece of marketing. Had over, you know, 2,500 likes on the page alone. This is a local company here in Minnesota. So if you would have asked just a general marketing person, could you create content that would ultimately lead to prospects and leads for a ice dam removal company within Facebook? I think they might have been hard pressed in my basic conversations with people in my field, I believe they would have been hard pressed to say whether or not that would have been worthwhile an effort. They did a great job though. So to me, it's part of really understanding what medium has been successful in other markets and how does it apply to your content strategy. Now, we're going to cover real quick here the internal aspect of creating content and modeling out creating content. The same questions: why, who, what, how, when, and where. The difference here, this is more for organizations. Obviously, if you're a one-man shop or a couple-person shop, it's a lot easier to understand how this is going to happen. But a lot of times what you have to do is, if you're a larger organization, is go through the why. You know, why are we doing this? We've already answered that question. The who. Well, who participates in this content creation? Who maintains it? This is typically where people jump to. This is where most people, they start here. Well, oh, we got to create content? Oh, man, who's going to do that? That's the first question, right? Because no one wants any more work. So I would suggest that that's why you start with the why, and then don't worry about the who, because you really don't know until you built out the persona what you need to create, right? You don't know until you've done the modeling of the persona of why you're doing all this and what do they want, how, who is it for, when, where. The internal questions about how it gets done doesn't matter because you haven't answered whether or not there's a real true need. You know what? You know what topics, subjects, and formats? This is important. Like when we talk about what, we've already talked about what the persona wants, but what's just as important is what topics, subjects, and formats can we actually speak to with credibility? And this is where you'll match it up. You might find that in your research with the persona and building that out, they're like, geez, my market really needs to know about this X, but I only can speak about Y. Well, do we talk about X because they care about that? Or do we have to get educated on that? Or do we not talk about that? And can we talk about what they care about in any any credible way whatsoever? Now, the how is the other question that typically comes up, and that's, how do we do this? How do we create a blog post? How do we create a video? How do we do all this, right? That's where the one thing that has to happen in all this is that processes have to be built. You go down this, there has to be a process of easy content creation. There also has to be this process of what's the acceptable voice? What's the voice we should go after? I recently saw the style guide for Groupon. You know, it's 45 pages long. So they definitely have a process to creating a great copy. But they've built the process. They've built the process for the voice into a stylized document that not only explains it, but actually gives you examples. You know, when is that publishing schedule that's important in content, is that you create a publishing schedule. You know, one of the things that enables a content strategy to be successful is longevity. And oftentimes what people will do is they'll dip their toe into content creation and they'll stop. They'll do it for, you know, a couple weeks, a couple months, and stop. Now, one of the reasons why I believe this podcast continues to grow every month is that I've continued to do it, obviously. But also I've been consistent. I've kept a schedule. And I also am very mindful of kind of staying current. You know, there's a shelf life of content as well. Now, if you've seen if you saw the Wall Street, the second Wall Street, you know, Money Never Sleeps, I think is the subhead there. One of the first scenes when he gets out of jail and he's got a cell phone, right? You look at those old cell phones and it's just amazing that people would walk around with those brick of a cell phone, right? Well, that cell phone has a shelf life. I think the movie Pretty Woman has a scene where there's a camcorder in it, right? And just seeing the camcorders of years ago, it makes that movie have a shelf life, right? So I think there's an important aspect of when you're creating content, how long is the shelf life here? And how often do we have to update it? If it's something that resonates with the market, you know, how do we update it? Now, where this question, when we talk about the internal modeling of where, comes down to where do our ideas come from? Where do our consistent ideas come from? You know, where are we drawing inspiration for this content? You know, where internally, where externally can we really get a pulse of what our persona consistently needs so we can relate it back to our product or our offering or what we do? So I know we covered a lot of this. In a way, this is a lot easier to look at in paper, the why, who, what, how, when, and where of both the persona and internal. But I just brushed over the surface. I mean, really, we could have gone a lot deeper. We're already on 22 minutes. But it's important just to kind of understand that these questions are things that you, when you define before you start really heavily investing in a content strategy, will actually enable the content strategy to be worthwhile. Look, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow where we'll talk about curation. This is a big content strategy I believe you'll hear a lot about here in the coming years. And we'll dive right in tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you then.